Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am. Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with Todd.
You say funny things.
What's going on, gentlemen?
Not much, not much.
Hi.
Brent is depressed because he's almost out of his whiskey.
That bottle is low. Someone's been getting into it.
Yep. It looks watered down.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's not the whiskey ghost?
It could be. Mr. Spreckles is known for eating meat sprinklets. That's the ghost in the basement that I tell my kids, Mr. Spreckles.
What's he eat?
Meat sprinklets.
What the hell is that?
It's like sprinkles on a donut, but they're made of meat.
Yeah. So they're like bacon crumbles.
Kind of like bacon crumbles, but more uniform. Yeah, they would be more cylindrical like the actual sprinkle shape, but made out of meat.
Prostitutes on Union are known for eating dick sprinkles. Dick
sprinkles. Oh, I didn't start the timer.
We didn't have the timer going.
Damn.
What was it?
1 minute and 10 seconds.
That's counting music, though. That was easily
30 seconds.
Yeah. Easily. Yeah. So, yep.
No, I would tell my kids that in the basement of the shop that there was a Mr. Spreckles. I don't know how that all started. We told them it was Mr. Spreckles and he eats meat sprinklets.
That's a shitty name.
They're so scared. My buddy Adam came for the Christmas parade the other day, and he brought the kids down here, and he thinks that under the tarp in that little room, that's where Mr. Spreckles lives, and
probably.
He kicked the tarp and ran.
Hey, this is a grown man?
No. His kid.
I thought you were talking about Adam.
It wasn't Adam.
And usually, when I know that they're going down there, I turn off the breaker, so it's like pitch black. It was nighttime, and it's like super scary, but I just was distracted.
We should put Christmas lights up in here.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, we should.
Year-round.
We could put the whole Christmas tree up since I didn't carry it upstairs.
Yes.
And I don't plan to.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Take pictures.
Tis the season.
We need ugly sweater Sofa King pictures.
Oh, yeah. That'd be sweet.
We need
somebody's grandma knit us some sweaters.
Now it's a whole industry. You can go to like uglysweaters.com and they've got a shit ton of them.
I had, this is for a while back, a Christmas party and ugly sweaters, you know, ugly sweater Christmas party. And I had the reindeers were fucking on the front of the sweater.
Nice.
So, but they really do look ugly on you. Like they don't.
Yes. They're not flattering.
Yeah, they're not. Like I'm fat, but it made me look fatter. So not cool.
Not cool.
So our topic today, we're starting to kind of do some a slightly new direction in the show. Instead of presenting things that we already know a lot about, we're starting to try to elicit people online to give us suggestions of topics. And then our goal is we're going to spend a week researching it. We're going to find out as much as we can. And then we're going to spit it at you and give us our take on it.
Yep.
So,
and as more money comes in, we might be able to do more research on it and actually spend a little more time on it. But
if
no money
18 cents a day, we'd be able to do more.
Yeah, we're like, if you could adopt us like you would like an African child, just 3 cents a day.
Just 3 cents a day.
Yeah.
And you'll feed your sofa king.
Yeah.
And if you mean by more money, because there's no money coming in.
Yeah, we're spending more money than. Just know if we're sending you shit, we paid for it out of our own pocket.
The sponsors gave it to us and we shipped it.
Yeah. Yes. So it's costing money. Yeah. So.
But we love you even though we don't know you and we send you things.
And I just had a baby and I'm still here.
Yes, you are. So, you're hanging in.
Yep.
Just days ago.
Yes.
Yep.
So that's how much dedication it takes.
Sleepless in Bakersfield over here.
All you fucking people that don't like me, eat a dick.
I'm going to put in an order for a Sofa King onesie.
So this week, one of the it's a suggestion that we actually had a while ago, and it was to look into and discuss the whole situation with Edward Snowden. So we decided to look into it, and I was quite surprised at some of the stuff that I found out and some of the misconceptions about him.
Yes, according to our venture over to the coffee shop this morning, one of the lovely girls, Rosie, asked what our topics were for the day. I mentioned Edward Snowden, and she kind of didn't know who it was, and then she said, oh, is that the guy that started WikiLeaks?
Right.
Because everybody thinks that.
That's what everybody thinks.
So.
And we had a laugh at it because we were just talking about that very misconception right before we walked over there. And then she said that. So, Rosie, if you're listening, we're going to break it down.
Yep.
It was John Oliver, right?
It was John Oliver.
John Oliver.
That's the one they did that street interview and they asked everybody.
Last week tonight, yeah.
Yep.
Because there's, if you haven't seen it, I recommend watching it. John Oliver's Last Week Tonight. You can find it on YouTube.
Yep, and it's 30 minutes.
It's 30 minutes long, longer than most of his segments. But he talks about mass surveillance in America. And then he ends up going to Russia for the show, John Oliver does, to find Edward Snowden and interview him. And it's pretty informative and fucking hysterical. And funny.
Yeah, it really is. He breaks it down for those of you who don't understand the internet or how it works. They break it down in a really funny way, and I was laughing. Apparently, Edward Snowden doesn't appreciate Florida either.
Yes.
So you know, this is
good. I just thought it was crazy. He made such a gamble and an effort and such an accomplishment to get a meeting with Edward Snowden,
the most wanted man in the world.
Right. Like, you know, an assassin. Like, if it was easy to get there, an assassin would just show up and get the guy and set up a meeting.
Right. Well, this is that's the funny thing. Like, everybody fucking knows where he's at.
Yeah,
like,
he's in Moscow.
They know where he's at.
Right.
He's in Russia.
But he's got Putin protection, so.
I guess you don't want to fuck with him.
No.
Yeah, so. But then he took a 10-hour flight, and then, like, he was an hour late. Snowden was an hour late. And then he just, like, I can't believe how comical he went with it. Like, I would have probably, I would have bitched out at the end and been like, okay, I'm going to ask serious questions. Like, I can't believe we got a meeting with Edward Snowden.
John Oliver just fucking pushes it to places. Yeah. I can't believe he pushed it.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you have to watch it, because me telling the story about dick pics is probably not going to do it total justice.
Yeah, and actually he explains it using the dick pic scenario.
Yes.
It was a great way to do it.
So explain to us what Edward Snowden actually did, because there's a lot of people who don't know who Edward Snowden is or what he did for the government, and then what he's doing now exposing the NSA. Right.
Well, first off, the misconception is that he has something to do with WikiLeaks, and WikiLeaks is a completely different thing, but it was at about the same timing that WikiLeaks really blew up. So let me start with WikiLeaks just to explain what that was, because it kind of led to Snowden and people sort of confuse it. So WikiLeaks is, and you've probably heard the name, Julian Assange is the guy behind WikiLeaks, which is a completely different thing. It has nothing to do
with
Snowden.
Older guy with white hair.
The older guy with white hair. He's not even that old. He just has white hair.
Yeah,
it's really kind of strange.
He's older than Snowden, but Snowden's a baby.
Right, Snowden's really young. But Assange was a hacker, like, in the first place. Like, he wasn't a government worker. He's not even American. He's Australian. But he was a hacker who called himself Mendax.
Which is kind of an awesome hacker name.
Yeah. And he did some legit stuff. He was in a group of hackers called the International Subversives with two other hackers named Trax and Prime Suspect, which is awesome.
They're all just Transformers. Yeah,
exactly. But the thing is, like, if you see a picture of Julian Assange, like, he's a fucking just fucking doofus. Like, yeah, so you have to have these bad names.
No, he's like a pasty, pale, weird.
But how did he explain him on John Oliver? He looked like a pack of fucking biscuit dough with a fucking
like a Stevie Nicks wig on.
Yeah.
I'd like to say Julian Assange. I think that he's very handsome. He seems like a really nice guy. He's very eloquent and educated.
Oh, very much so.
Oh, no, he's educated, but he looks like a jackass.
You're just afraid of getting hacked.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
But he was an Australian hacker. His hacks, he hacked the Pentagon, the U.S. Department of Defense, Milnet, Lockheed Martin, Panasonic, Xenox.
He's no
Xenox. Xerox.
Xerox.
I don't even think he's that bad looking of a guy. I don't understand the sack of dough thing, and I'm not just kissing ass out of fear.
Pale and weird looking. Yeah. You don't think he's
maybe it's because I'm pale and weird looking.
Britain has an attraction to him.
But he even got, I mean, he got arrested by the Australian government.
What's his name, Julian Lasagna.
He got arrested by the Australian government for hacking, but all they did was charge him a fine and let him go, basically, because even they were probably afraid of him. But since then, like, he and some other people founded WikiLeaks, and the whole point of WikiLeaks was to expose shitty things that governments were doing. And his whole thing was, there was a person named Chelsea Elizabeth Manning who was a U.S. soldier, I think, in the Army, and in 2013 gave out 750,000 classified or sensitive documents to WikiLeaks, and then WikiLeaks posted them, and that was really when WikiLeaks got huge, and then some other big people leaked documents, and they tended to be documents that people thought were governments, primarily American or the UK, doing shitty things, like things that they were uncomfortable that their government did, and they tended to release documents proving it. Because most of the people, it's not like they were selling secrets to the Russians or something. They were trying to show people in their own country how fucked up their government was. But Lasagna is a different breed of guy.
You know what? I figured out who he looks like. If you look at him on Google Images, he looks like fucking Bill Maher. Like, he looks like a white-haired Bill Maher.
Yeah, he does kind of look like Bill Maher. I can see that.
Yeah, asshole.
So he's more of a hacker and an activist, and he himself, Julian Assange, didn't leak anything.
He just created a platform for submission,
and that's what he did. And actually, he won like awards.
He won a Pulitzer Prize.
The Sydney Peace Foundation Gold Medal for Peace and Justice, which has only been awarded to four people, and it's, I forget the guy's name, a Buddhist monk.
They had to say peace and justice, because if it said justice and peace, people would just follow with fuck the police.
Yeah, that's
I couldn't true. Help it.
But like Nelson Mandela, the Dalai Lama, and like this Buddhist mystic were the only other three people who were awarded it. And
did then you say Julian Nelson Assange Mandela?
Those are strange Isn't people to be get that award and then give it to a hacker.
Right. But the I thing was, they were saying that he created this platform for truth and to expose injustices. But a lot of people look at him as being more of a, and then there was like a lot of like sexual misconduct that he did in Sweden and various like things have been.
I think that was like a
leveraged against him
smear campaign thing. It was like that thing about the sex thing was like that. I don't know. It was some silly thing that he didn't use a condom or something, and she wasn't okay that he didn't use.
Well, there's
a condom.
Always going to be people coming out and trying to ruin you and expose you if you're doing something.
Like you're grasping at that point. Yeah. If that's your accusation, like he didn't use a condom when he was supposed to use a condom, you were going to have sex with him. I mean, I don't know the whole story behind it, but it sounded like a lot of smear campaign. Right, like it was like aimed at him.
So
but,
Julian Assange is a hacker and an activist, and he hosts a website with a couple of other people that allow people to post. Secret documents
anonymously.
Right.
But how did Manning get caught then? Just because the government tracked it to that station,
I don't know.
Probably.
I don't know how they tracked that particular one down, but it's a different person. So Snowden is not WikiLeaks. Snowden is not Assange.
But they have since become related a little bit, though.
Somewhat.
They do cross paths.
They're both on the lam for revealing secrets from the U.S. government. Assange is in Ecuador.
And no one sold anything, right? He didn't sell.
He didn't sell the secrets.
Because the general consensus of the public is if you ask if either of those people, for whatever reason, if you ask who they are, they're like, oh, they sold government secrets.
No, they
to
just
something.
Revealed. Yeah. And the other thing is Assange just posted all of them on WikiLeaks for everyone
see.
No filter, supposedly compromised military operations, etc.
Right.
Snowden, completely different scenario, completely different motivation, perhaps, depending on how you view Snowden.
Right.
And he tends to either be considered a hero or derided as a traitor, depending on how you look at his stance on what he did. But so Snowden was an NSA contractor who worked for the National Security Administration in America. And he, in 2013, the summer of 2013, June 6th, I remember that because it's also...
Dang, your birthday or something? Jeez.
No, it's D-Day. June 6th. My birthday's June 8th.
That's when Dave finally gets the D.
But D-Day is June 6th. But on D-Day of 2013, he released documents, and he didn't just publicly release them. He actually gave them to a handful of what he considered to be reputable journalists, hoping they would vet them and they would release them in a responsible manner that didn't compromise national security. But he still wanted certain truths to come out about what the American government was doing. So did I miss? Is there anything I missed his background?
He was at the age of 22. He was a CIA agent.
Yes,
And then
clearly
then he turned
a genius.
Into it. Yeah, I mean then he turned into an NSA contractor.
Right.
So obviously made more money as a contractor
because he did all this at 26.
26.
I mean, you know, so he's only 28 right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous, right?
Yeah, he comes from a military family.
He was born in 83, so that'd make him 32 right now.
Oh, is he?
So it's been a few.
Oh, you're
years.
Right. He started at 26.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't release the information
until 29.
Right.
Okay. And one of the things I saw that I read was he had intent during early in his career. He was conflicted about releasing the information during the Bush administration because of all the negative things that were going on that he was seeing.
Right.
But he actually held out when Obama got elected because he believed
things would
in
change.
Government, and he thought that maybe it was just the administration that currently was occupying office, and that Obama had all this hope and the things, you know, change and yes, we can and all that stuff. And he held out, and he said he saw a progressive and slow escalation. If anything, things began to get worse. And that's saying a lot.
Well,
you know,
and last night
it is from saying Bush. A lot.
Yeah, and I had this kind of revelation last night. You've always said, like, you think when and Brent said this, I'm pointing at him, you can't see it, but
right.
That you know,
sausage
you,
finger.
You, no, you feel, and this kind of made sense to me. You feel like a president's like, yay, you know, yay, we're going to do this. We're going to make change, blah, 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 blah. As soon as he comes off the podium, they take him to the back room and they're like, okay, listen. And Dave, I think right. Dave said this too, like, listen, this is what's going to happen.
Right.
Bam, 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 bam. Like all of that great stuff you were talking about. Cool. If we can get to it.
Yeah.
But these are things that
and
we're going
to
do.
And to be fair, I got that from a stand-up comedian. I don't know who it was, but I remember there's a stand-up routine about sitting the president down and showing him a JFK video.
Yeah, right. But yeah. That's
a solid, plausible
yeah,
thought.
Yeah, and it like, makes right. sense. And after like looking into Snowden, and I really feel like Snowden, like after watching the interview and like the things that he said and done, he really believed that the American public would make the right decision, and kind of like he's saying like, hey, here's the information. Can you live with that or not? You know, yeah, what I mean? I'm not cool with it.
There's
you know?
A drastic difference between what Julian Assange did because of the zero filter. Like right. he, right. that's a problem. And I think, you know, because we had some passionate people on
and
Facebook.
And Julian Assange wasn't about, he wasn't patriotic about it.
Yeah, no. He's just said, trying here's to, your shitty
he's
information.
Like information from any government. He puts it up yeah. unfiltered, let the whole world
vigilante,
see
vigilante, like, right. here you go. Right. This is, yeah.
Doesn't care if, right. it, if it uncovers plots
right.
or
doesn't
like,
care
you know,
if,
foils
yeah, exactly.
things that the government's trying
for the
to
better
do.
Good. Exactly. So I think some people's you know hatred and accusations might be misguided because of the confusion that the public has between that. Because on Facebook, I mean, we have some people that are highly opinionated about you know Snowden having blood on his hands. But right. to date, they you know they're saying it caused damages. But what damages did it cause?
And the most damages yeah. that were caused, from what I uncovered, were the New York Times posted a still of one of the documents.
Mm-hmm. It was like a slide.
Yeah, but they what they would call redacting the information. They'll black out certain parts that would be sensitive and perhaps compromise a mission
it
or put somebody
yeah,
at
it
risk.
Wasn't opaque enough.
But it wasn't, yeah. it was like see-through because yeah. they didn't make it 100% opaque because they apparently don't know how to use fucking
paint.
You know,
Sharpies?
You know? Yeah, Sharpies, how about that? But it was all digital and the digital wasn't dark enough so you could still see the redacted information. Yeah. And they think that might have compromised, I forget the mission, it was a particular mission.
Against ISIS at the time,
in
ISIL.
Middle East yeah. or, yeah. So, but most of the information seems to have been, you know, handled well by the press and
right.
released in a
and
in
probably most likely
way.
Beneficial. I mean, a lot of the stuff is he only confirmed, you know, our worst fears. It's not like he told us. I mean, the general public probably didn't know, the masses, but anyone that wanted to do the research, you know, especially yeah. like mainstream conspiracy theorists were like, they've been listening to our phone calls since 1976. Yeah. Like, you know, it just really vindicated what a lot of people were thinking the government was conspiring to do.
Right.
He just verified that, yes, in fact, we do have this technology and they are watching everything.
Yeah. And I think there's a preloaded bias as well. There was a Pew study which does really legitimate statistics said that they said that 46% of Americans are in no way concerned about government surveillance yeah. in America. So if that's the case, I think a lot of people, if you're already not concerned about the government yeah. surveilling you and then you find out about this guy that released information about the government surveilling
like,
you don't really give a shit.
You're like, yeah, we already knew, it's
and
not
that,
a big deal.
And,
we don't care.
And if you don't know, that's the yeah. prime thing that Snowden revealed is what at the time was considered Patriot Act Section 215, which allowed the American government to basically spy on its own people without yeah. warrants, without any, you know,
well,
and that was the main thing that he was arguing, is that our spy agencies yeah. are spying on ourselves 24/7 yeah. and there is no privacy and we live in a surveillance
yeah state. And I think that there may be more types of people, but I think you can categorize it into three types of people. You have the people who don't know, who are kind of just oblivious to everything. Then you have the person who says that, yes, I understand they could be surveying my, you know, conversations and pictures and, you know, emails and stuff like that, but I'm not a terrorist, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Like, that information doesn't matter. If you want to know my secret, you know, apple pie recipe that I sent to my, you know, that my grandma
right.
sent to me,
right.
like, oh, well, you know, right. like, it's not that big a deal. And you're not interested in my information because I'm not doing anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and then you have the other side of it, whereas, you know, they think that, you know, all of their information is being, you know, taken in and looked at and you're invading my privacy.
Right.
But, you know, I think there's a cost to freedom, you know, and I think we talked about this on the internet, you know, I mean, you're
on the internet episode
on the
yeah.
internet episode privacy. About internet surveillance, you know, and I think that there is a cost to freedom. You know, if you're not dying for your freedom, then they're spying on you. You know what I mean? What is the cost and what are you willing to pay? Are you willing to go to war and die?
I think people are a little too comfortable. They take for granted. And Glenn Greenwald, is that his name? Glenn Greenwald?
That's the reporter.
The journalist that works so closely with Snowden. He to try to paraphrase or quote what he said was, and I think this is such a good way to say it, is that people have this tendency to say, I have nothing to hide, so I don't care that they're watching. Like you said, my apple pie recipe? Yeah. But the problem with that type of mentality is it's such a slippery slope. Saying that you have nothing, you have nothing to hide, so why should you care, is like saying, I don't care about free speech because I have nothing to say.
Right.
You know what I mean? And slowly as they take that away, one day you just wake up and you're, what kind of world are you in? You know what I mean?
I mean,
with everything.
I just look back at history. I mean, I look at the McCarthy era, where everybody who was suspected of being a communist was arrested and blacklisted and couldn't get work and were dragged through hell by the Senate and the FBI. Exactly. So it's like, so right now, if there was a political ideology that is completely innocent and no one gives a shit about in America, but you actually texted about it and said you were in favor, there was an email or something, and then all of a sudden some huge horrible fascist takes over using that idea, and they can look back at your data and just be like, this motherfucker supports Hitler 2.0.
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, I didn't support that. I said these positive things 5 years ago, but it's like, if they're collecting that type of data, they can use stuff to smear you, even if you were uninformed, even if
out of context,
out of context. I mean, they're trying, you know, all the talk about the fucking ridiculous notion of trying to like have a database where every Muslim is registered and all this kind of shit. So it's like, if you texted a Muslim, it's like, are you now worthy of being put on a watch list? I mean, so it's like, I mean, that it's level just, of it's surveillance. It's
crazy to think though, like you get into the religion aspect. I think Christians have killed more fucking people than
sure
any other religion. You know what I mean? Like,
I think Christians have shot and murdered more people in America this year than died in 9/11.
Yeah.
Like, but we don't give a shit about it.
So, I mean, like, it's crazy to think that, like, you think that all Muslims are terrorists or, like, every Muslim's going to come in and cut your head off. I think it's the... Everything comes back to a headway. Like I talked about in the Walmart episode, everybody says that Walmart is owned by China. It's like this weird thing like that people get stuck on because somebody put it out on the internet and then they took that and ran with it. It's the same thing with Muslims. Like, oh, well, it says in the Quran this or that. Well, did you fucking read the Quran?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and oh yeah, I read the Quran. Really, motherfucker. No. You read the Quran? I don't fucking think so. You know, like, so you get all this misinformation and everything's bottled up into this one form that people have created. And that's what we're going off of. It's like, it's a package of bullshit. And not to say that there aren't some that are like that, but I think that
there's extremists in every category.
Right. Exactly. I mean, there's fucking people burning down churches and fucking people. And then there's also people burning down abortion clinics
right.
who are fucking Christians who went to church that Sunday. You know, I think that it's just a crazy fucking fact of life that people are going to kill people.
Right. And I think when it comes to the surveillance issue, I think the reason that Snowden is either considered a hero or a traitor by everyone, I think largely depends on where you fall. There's sort of a spectrum between privacy and security.
Privacy.
Like when you get all the way to the security aspect, then the government is watching everything and making sure nothing illegal is happening. And then everybody is monitored 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
But if you get to the pure freedom side where you're never being monitored at all, then your safety is probably going to be more compromised. And I think where people fall on that scale makes them decide whether or not they think Snowden is a hero or whether he's a villain.
Well, the problem mentally is you start to self-police yourself. You know what I mean? You start to not have conversations that you would have had. You don't email your buddy about this concern. You can't freely say the things and have peace of mind in the security. It's like the whole Fourth Amendment thing. Like you're supposed to be able to feel secure in your ability to exercise, like, you know, to speak of those things and to have that privacy to yourself.
Yeah. Right. And John Oliver asked Snowden also, he said, you know, so are we supposed to stop doing these things? And I think Snowden's answer was absolutely terrific. He said, no,
right.
Keep going on with your daily life. You know, like, and I think that's the same thing. You know, if a terrorist attacks, like, are you going to stop flying? Are you going to stop, you know, going to the mall? Are you going to stop doing things with your kids outside of your home because you're afraid? No. like, I think that that was a great answer, and shows that he supports, you know, he loves America and he wants people to have knowledge of what's going on and not be hidden. You know, and I don't find it right that the government hides it from us.
Right.
And they don't necessarily hide it because the bills are there. But who the fuck's going to read,
right,
you know, Article 215 that's fucking who knows how long and right, all this jumbled up information that is hard to follow?
Well, on the spectrum of where you fall on it, I think there were three comments on the social media on our Sofa King stuff that I think really sum up the spectrum.
Yeah.
And so I'll read through all three of them. One was from Jason Roskam. He said, this story about Edward Snowden is odd, especially when you actually follow responses from politicians on both sides. I find it a little disturbing that nearly every politician on both sides of the aisle call him a traitor. Nobody is standing up for this guy who rightly exposed the massive violation of our civil liberties. Why are politicians from both sides pissed off about the fact that now we know that they are collecting data on all of us without warrants, without cause? This is some dystopian future shit going on here. Okay. So I think that really represents one side of it, right? Yeah. The fact that he revealed shit that we should already know about, and politicians are trying to make us not know.
They're calling him a traitor.
Exactly.
That's bullshit. Yeah.
So on the other side of the spectrum, we had a listener named Patrick Lawrence Dietz who said he should be rotting in prison. The blood of terror victims are on his hands. What that anti-surveillance crowd failed to understand is that Uncle Sam can give a rip less about your sexting or steamy phone conversations unless they are to terror subjects in the Middle East. And yes, many in D.C. call him a traitor because they've seen the darn intelligence.
Right? Darn. So, dang, you got passionate. You did darn, passionate. Patrick.
Yeah. I said intelligence because I didn't know if they know. So that's kind of the other side of the spectrum. And then we had one person smack in the middle who said, and it was Cassandra Ray, and she said, oh gosh. And again, with the fucking swearing. Darns and goshes.
Don't fucking say shit.
I'm a little bit worried about this. So Cassandra Ray says, oh gosh, it's not really about whether or not Snowden is a hero or a traitor. He's neither. He was an American citizen who tried to exercise his constitutional rights and was accused of treason for doing so. This guy could be any of us. The question should be whether or not our Constitution is applicable to all citizens, not just the elite. So I think that sort of strikes a middle balance.
Yeah, I think.
Well, and then someone else came in on that same stream probably after you saw it, but someone named Thomas Aguirre said, if we're a nation of laws, and those laws should reign supreme and no individual group should be immune to those laws. He's basically saying that they broke a law. Like, you know, the administration is actually breaking a law. How are we holding this guy accountable for breaking a rule when he was exposing that you're breaking rules?
Right.
It's just, where is that line of gray area?
Well, the thing was, though, they weren't necessarily breaking rules. We passed the Patriot Act.
No, they're not. I can't remember what it was, but it was proven that they were breaking the law.
I think it's kind of borderline, though, because the Patriot Act states that if it's stuff that's out of the United States, they can look at it.
If it was out of the United States, but they were not just looking at stuff out of the United States.
Well, it comes back into the United States. So there was that
they were looking at all foreign and domestic. They were looking at everything, including...
Well, because it's domestic, but they were able to access it because it left the United States.
They weren't just doing that, though. It's not...
It's different.
Yes.
There are different surveillance apparatus. Some were following the law. Some were not.
Like, and to Patrick Dietz, they were looking at the steamy sexting.
Right.
There's a term for it.
According to Snowden, they were also.
They were passing those around, and they were spying on loved ones. And they were looking at all kinds of things.
Yeah, they do care about your apple pie recipe and your wife's
new
photo.
What's the term for it? Did you remember?
Yeah, it's in there. So I'll find it later in the show. Okay.
So part of it, right? The Patriot Act, Section 215, which, by the way, was repealed in June of this year.
Yep.
So Snowden released his stuff in 2013 in June, and then in June of 2015, this particular loophole went away. And most people think it's purely because of Snowden.
Yeah.
Because of the pressure he put on.
Nobody would have known.
Nobody would have known this stuff. But because of what he did, this thing got taken off of the books, and it's no longer legal. But it was called the Library Records Provision Act, Section 215, the Library Records Provision, and it requires businesses to hand over information and records against terrorism. And part of it is it's overseen by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act Court, which was established in 1978. It's called the FISA Court. And it says that the U.S. can collect phone and financial records for any American secretly, and it can hold phone records indefinitely. And yeah. In 34 years, the court has approved 30,000 cases and rejected 12. So every time a cause, every time someone says we need to surveil this American citizen, here's our evidence, 30,000 times, 12 yes. of them were denied. That's kind of a skewed system, right. I would imagine. But even the author of the Patriot Act, James Sessenbrenner, says that he said, quote, there is no interpretation that could be made where this clause of the Patriot Act is allowing us to spy on American citizens with their phone data.
Yeah. And so, he also said, I watched a video that he said that if you actually read the clause, you would actually not physically want to pass it because there's no way that it makes sense to do to the people.
Right. And it got passed because 9/11.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole Patriot Act was written in this post 9/11. Yeah. Everybody, every politician wanted to be able to prove that they took a stand.
Or pre 9/11, it might have been written. It might have been waiting for something to happen.
Yeah. You're
saying. Well, and that's one of my
false flag believers.
Yeah, and I'm not the conspiracy guy. You know what I mean? But I think that that is a plausible cause of 9/11 that we actually did 9/11. And the government was responsible for it in order to pass this act. I mean, because now, without that, if they would have had to explain what the Patriot Act was and there was no terror in the United States, nobody would have passed it. Everybody said, no, this isn't going to happen.
No, it wouldn't have passed.
But you kill a bunch of people, and yes, we got to stop it. Let's go. We'll give up our freedoms in order to pass this
law.
And
the same exact thing is happening right now in France. Because of the terror attacks in Paris from a little while ago, they're getting ready to pass all this legislation that erodes the freedoms of French citizens and allows them to do wiretaps and allows them to do all this stuff. So, I mean, it's the same exact thing that happened here.
And it's crazy because you don't know who's fucking lying to you. You right. don't know if ISIS is really claiming, the news today, ISIS claimed responsibility for the shootings. Who fucking told you?
Right.
The
right.
news, the media who lies to you on a daily basis, right. who's owned by the government.
No, they could have 1,000 square feet of desert and just be driving trucks past a stationary camera with the same fucking 100 guys in black suits with AK-47s.
With masks on.
They're all, there they go. Get back in the other trucks. Drive back the other way. There they go again. Look, more of them, man. Different weapons.
It's fucking crazy. You know, it's like, you don't know what to believe.
The other thing you don't know is, yes, Snowden exposed all this. And we're like, thank God, because now that doesn't exist anymore. Now we know it's illegal. And they just quit saying that they're doing it.
You just changed the name of
the
act.
Well, the other thing is, you don't even need to change it. There's so much shit that are still, and again,
I don't think they quit. Like, they didn't quit doing that.
Here's the thing. No, I think this particular method that came from Section 215 was abolished in June. But there are so many ways that the government tracks data. One of them is what they call the 702 surveillance, which is another thing that the FISA court did. It was amended in 2008, and it allows bulk collection of internet communications if data crosses outside of the United
right,
States.
That's
and
Brad's
this is still
about.
In place.
Like, right.
This hasn't gone away. So why this gets... So again, the idea is if you send a communication outside of the United States, you might be communicating with a terrorist so they can capture that information, they can reveal it, etc. But the problem is, it only needs to bounce to an internet. Like, I could be sending it to you. I could text you right now, looking you in the eyes.
Right.
But if it happens to bounce outside of the United States and hit some server, if I email you right now, phone to phone, and it lands on a Google server that happens to be in Bangladesh,
right.
then I am now subject to that treatment. Yeah. My communications can now, same thing with phone calls. If I bounce to a satellite and come back down, you might argue that it left the United States. Therefore, I'm eligible.
And we know that AT&T is entirely cooperating with them. They could say, hey, can you just go and route this through Britain or something back? You know, that's a simple thing for them to do, probably.
And those were things that were, we talked about the PRISM program in our internet surveillance episode. But the PRISM program is part of that, where it supposedly gave like basically deputizing these companies to get information. But from what I read now, Google and Google was the main one that was really pissed off. Like their employees were upset that they were going in and using these loopholes and back doors. They were actually requiring companies to have back doors for the government to get in.
So they could get into.
Yeah.
And most of the telecommunications companies, Verizon, AT&T, et cetera, most of them, if a PRISM request comes in and says, we want to find out who this person was calling, et cetera, then they'll give them the information. And again, part of that, this has nothing to do with Snowden. This wasn't repealed in June. This was basically some super hidden part of the user agreement that you didn't read and you clicked accept. Okay. Yeah. You've given AT&T permission to turn any of your shit over to the government if they request it. And the companies in general tend to, and to be honest, from where I stand, in most cases, they probably should. If the district attorney in Bakersfield wants to find out that, you know, whether or not this guy called this person who he potentially murdered that night, and they can get that information from AT&T, I hope they do get that information from AT&T.
And that's the other stand is I made a phone call. It bounced outside the United States, or a text, or an email. I mean, I'm not sending my dick pics. And if I do, then it's in public domain. Once you put it out there on the internet, it's in public domain. Whether you have, whether it's encrypted or not, somebody can get a hold of that information. You leaving your credit card on a server, you know, you use Amazon, they have your credit card information. You go in, click a button, instant pay, boom. It is in, it is protected to a point. Somebody can get that information. And I think that has to be understood when looking at these security issues. You know, like the question is, if there is a terrorist in the United States and they are communicating with anybody, do you want to legally the government have access to that information? I would say yes.
It's trading privacy for security.
Right. Trading privacy for security.
Because they don't know what packet's going to be important, and that's the argument is like, well, we have to grab all this information because we don't know at the time what part of it's going to be.
You don't know if I'm a terrorist or not, so I could be sending these messages to another party who we aren't involved in any terrorist community, but we are planning something.
I think we have to accept with the progression of technology that that's just going to be the case, and I'm kind of okay with the fact that you have to grab all this for a temporary whatever and hold it. But what I'm not okay with is them digging through it for their, you know, joking around, like looking at
stuff.
And that's
the other thing is the quality of people who are actually analyzing this information. I think that's where
they're above for absolutely no reason.
They're above the law, though.
They should still have to have a court order. Is the thing.
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
Yes.
It should be like, this is a person of interest and this is why. And it gets reviewed by a court order.
This is the problem. I don't know the man, but that's not what Snowden is concerned about. He's concerned about what they would call bulk collections.
Right.
The fact that it's all being collected all the time and that anyone can look back at these records anytime that they need you're a suspect, no matter what, you're just constantly being surveilled. And actually, he wrote a letter, an open letter to Brazil in 2013, right after he did the leaks. And I'm going to read a quote from it because I think it really gets to what he was after. He said in the letter, "There's a huge difference between legal programs, legitimate spying, legitimate law enforcement, where individuals are targeted based on a reasonable, individualized suspicion. And these programs of dragnet mass surveillance that put entire populations under an all-seeing eye and save copies forever. These programs were never about terrorism. They're about economic spying, social control, and diplomatic manipulation. They're about power."
Right.
And often many world leaders have complained because we're using these devices, these clauses programs, and loopholes and programs in order to spy on, you know, Merkel, the head of Germany, we're spying on diplomats and different leaders using these loopholes.
Right.
And it's all been made public. And of course we're going to fucking spy. Of course we're spying on the German chancellor. Yeah. And guess what? The German chancellor is spying on President Obama. Welcome to fucking big league politics.
This is my thing about Snowden too. Like, why would Russia give him amnesty? You know what I mean? Like that benefits them in a huge way as far as spying.
Because when he got there, he landed with like an invalid passport or something. Because when he left Hong Kong, they canceled his passport after he was on the plane.
Yeah.
And when he landed in Russia, he didn't have a valid passport. He was actually stuck in Russia with that other reporter. Do you remember the female journalist's name?
I don't remember.
They were stuck in a room for 40 days.
Jesus.
With no window and like no shower or bathroom. They had to sit in there because they were in limbo. They didn't have any place for asylum, and they did not have he didn't have a valid passport. And so she stayed with him, and they were in that room for 40 days before finally someone granted them asylum or something, or they made the decision. Because didn't he fly out of there and then back? Because
I don't know.
Russia eventually gave him a one-year asylum, you know what I mean? Because there was no reason
And they've extended it now to 3 years.
Yeah, because so USA kept trying to ask, like, hey, like, can we extradite him? And they were like, no, you didn't extradite this guy and this guy and this guy who, like, murdered a bunch of people. Yeah. And you won't give him up. Why are we going to give you this guy that's telling your dirty secrets that you're spying on us, you know?
Right.
So they gave him asylum, and then that got renewed, I think, just now.
In 2015,
for three more years. Yeah. So he's safe for a while.
For another little bit, yeah.
And then his fiance or significant other moved there with him, I guess, finally.
Well, she would have to. You can imagine what they would do.
Oh, God, yeah.
I watched, and if you guys haven't watched, Citizen 4 is a really, really good documentary. It's I think it was like 2 hours long. It was good. But it starts from, journalists meeting in the hotel room, Edward Snowden, you know, shaking, like nervous. It's wild, man, because they documented everything.
So let me get this right. I still haven't seen the movie, but the premise is as soon as Snowden reached out to the reporter with like this super sketchy, weird email.
He didn't use his name.
And he said, I've got this information. And as soon as that happened, the reporter started filming a documentary. So it's like a lifetime capture of all the first shit.
Their first encounters and everything in the hotel room.
Think about
it. It's just a real documentary. It's not like fucking fictional. It's
nothing,
like, we're just filming
scripted. It's
this
really
real
as
shit.
It was happening.
Think of saying something and having the fucking United States after you.
Right.
The fucking CIA, FBI, probably everybody fucking is looking for this guy. Like,
that's
insane.
The problem I have with the traitor accusation from people is like, that was a complete selfless act. Like, he knew he had a good paying job, I'm sure. He worked for the NSA. Yeah. He had all the amenities he would ever. I mean, think about that job.
He's,
you know,
set.
What I mean?
Yeah.
He was set. Super intelligent guy. He knows exactly what he's doing. All that stuff had just happened to Manning. He knows that cruel and unusual punishment is on his way, and he's got a one-way ticket to Guantanamo or something.
He didn't give it to an enemy. He didn't sell it to ISIS. Like, it's not like, you know,
the reasonings behind what he did too, I thought was really cool. Like, he gave it, the reasons he didn't just put the information out, he gave it to reporters to pick and choose what they put out.
And he didn't allow them to publish his name at the same time in an act of modesty, because he didn't want it to become about him.
Yeah.
He wanted to make sure that the whole event happened as long, the information could flow as long as it could before it became about him.
Yeah.
But it's just so crazy how to think, like, it was like real, like, Born Identity style thing.
Oh,
except
for
he can't kick ass and doesn't have a gun.
Right.
He has to just hide in a hotel room.
He's just computer nerd.
Yeah, imagine what he's doing on the computer, though. I mean, he's fucking
He was literally teaching the reporters and the journalists, like, how, okay, you have to use this type of encryption. Your password needs to be like this. He had, like, a red blanket, which at first you're probably like, oh, this guy's crazy. But no, he had a blanket in the hotel room that he would drape over his head and laptop, so that when he logged into the laptop, just in case, like, even if the reporters weren't being straight up with him. A reflection from something. He had a blanket over his head to type in his password. While they were in there, the fire alarm went off at the hotel. He unplugged the VOIP phone because he knows all the little things. He's like, they could already know that I'm here.
Yeah.
And then he said that they were at his house. He talked to his, I don't remember how he talked to her, through email or something, but through some kind of encrypted email. He didn't even tell his girlfriend or wife, I think it's just his girlfriend, that he just left a note while she was out of town to say, hey, I'm going to be away for work for a little while, which was entirely normal with his job type. And she had no idea, for plausible deniability, that he was about to do that. And possibly go to prison for the rest of his life, and or be assassinated, possibly, depending on what you think.
Well, and the thing is, like, with this information, like, yes, putting that information out to the public, like, having the public be able to understand what exactly the government is doing. If you think about it on that scale, is great. I mean, you know, yes, I want to know if I choose to put information out on the internet, that the government's probably going to have that information.
Right.
That's cool for me to know. The other side of it, where people get angry at and call him a whistleblower or a traitor, is that he put that information out there, though, and terrorists now know that that's going on. So they can choose to be wiser about who they use for carriers, who they use for information.
Yeah, but they knew that was going on. I mean,
maybe,
that's what I'm saying.
If you think about some fucking, I mean, terrorists are from a third world country. They use fucking third world equipment for bombs and explosives. You know, I mean,
they got Boost Mobile.
Are they really that technologically savvy? You know what I mean?
Oh, where yeah, they are.
Know, those guys, dudes,
can fucking hack, man.
So, I mean, yeah, so maybe they did know already. And one of the things on here is that there were some Pentagon officials said they wanted to kill Snowden because of dropping that information, and a lot of the terrorists that they had on the list dropped email addresses, dropped phones, dropped, you know what I mean? They changed everything right after that information came out. So that was a huge hit. You know what I mean? It is a huge risk to inform the American public and also inform the people who are terrorists and real traitors.
Right.
I don't personally know the impact on the trade. I don't know if those phone number things.
But I think a lot of the reason that some people dislike Snowden so much is because of the WikiLeaks misconception.
Yeah.
Because the fact of the matter is, like, those 750,000 documents that were given to WikiLeaks were just fucking posted online for the entire world to read in their entirety.
Right.
So the terrorist networks could see the exact information, how the government was operating, et cetera. That's a radically different thing than the documents being given to really responsible journalists.
They were
now
chosen.
You're told, yeah, disseminate this information as you think it will help America, because that's what I'm doing.
And as they released it, it was mostly had to do with public, like, invasion of privacy,
right,
type
and
things.
A reporter isn't going to release some shit that's elite, like, oh, this is top
secret
information.
They're going to be in the same room,
right,
with Snowden.
This is top secret information that's going to compromise a government thing. Like, a reporter isn't going to do that because it's going to get them arrested. It's going to get everybody in trouble. The newspaper won't fucking publish it. But if they look at this list of documents and go, did you know the U.S. was doing this illegal shit right here? Now you can run with that.
You know,
story.
Like, I think a good analogy is, like, he released the menu to the restaurant. He didn't give away the recipes. Like, he's like, here's the shit that's on the menu.
Right.
These are the things that they're serving up to you.
Yeah.
Well, he's not telling how they were done or what specific information it contained.
Right.
You just know that they serve beef stew.
This is happening.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, you can get some beef stew? Like, they don't know that there's carrots in there. Like, they don't know. Here comes carrots again.
I love Brent's analogies.
I think it's a valid analogy.
No, I think it is. It's a good analogy.
No, it is. It makes sense. I mean,
it's a good analogy.
He didn't give away the secrets. He just gave away what they were doing.
He just said
they were physically doing these things. Yeah.
And I mean, and again, like, he was primarily pointing at things the Patriot Act was allowing the U.S. government to unconstitutionally do towards, you know, Americans, to survey them illegally. But again, there's the thing that frightens me is there are still so many legal options for the U.S. government to still do largely the same shit.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, we already mentioned the 702 Surveillance Act from FISA. We already mentioned PRISM. There's a thing called Executive Order EO 12333, which is very similar to Surveillance Act 702. So it's like redundant. If you get rid of the one and strike it down, there's already another one in place.
Hydra.
It's Hydra. It does a similar thing. And there's one called Mystic that tracks phone data, and mostly, again, out of country, et cetera, but it saves them in a buffer. The Mystic phone data, it's data about calls outside the U.S., but whole conversations in other countries are recorded. And it's foreign only, but the Mystic program stores all calls made in full voice in entire countries for 30 days at a time.
That's a lot of data.
Millions of phone calls. Yeah. And they won't reveal what countries they're using Mystic in. The only one that got leaked is that they're doing it in the Bahamas. That was the confirmed one.
Bahamas and Afghanistan.
Was
area.
It? I'm sure. I mean, yeah. Of course, they're doing it in Iraq. Of course, they're doing it in Pakistan. I mean, I can't imagine they wouldn't be. But they haven't really revealed the other countries. But again, they're doing bulk.
you know they're doing it. Yeah.
Bulk surveillance. So again, if you happen to call the Bahamas, your phone call was recorded.
Yep.
You know, period, and it was stored in a buffer.
Wouldn't it be
for
strange, like,
days?
If you call like your uncle that's in the Bahamas, and it's like this phone call is being recorded by the United States government?
Exactly.
You're like, what the fuck? Like, would you still say the same things?
Right.
No, exactly. You wouldn't.
And then the other big one that they do, and this is one that Snowden mentions, is a program called Upstream, which is very similar to Prism. It's a way that they can collect information, and it deals with information flowing on physical fiber optic cables, so they can capture information on the fiber optic cables. That's why they call it Upstream.
They like tapped it under the water.
Basically,
They said 600 and the equivalent of 650,000 DVD videos travels per hour through that fiber optic cable.
They store that shit.
And they check. Now the thing about Upstream,
think of the servers.
I can't conceive of it.
Oh my god.
The thing about Upstream, which I feel a little bit better about than most of them, is that Upstream is checked basically by an AI.
Right.
So it's not a bunch of horny NSA agents showing dick pics in their office. There's a horny computer looking at dick pics and deciding whether or not it cares. But it's looking at massive databases and saying, oh, this phone number is suspicious. This IP address is suspicious. Yeah. And then it sends that suspicious data to an agent, a human agent. And then they take a look at it. And
human agent.
Human agent.
Oh.
And I feel, oddly enough, even in spite of my terror about the AI taking over and killing us all in our sleep with robotic pillows.
Pillows.
That's right. They smuggle you with robotic pillows. I feel a little bit better about something like Upstream because at least there's a first buffer of genuine surveillance intelligence that's then reporting it to a human where the fallibility is going to
Well, that's
to
just because there's so much content going through
there. Oh, there's no way. There's insane. No way for a person to potentially do that. But and even in Wikimedia, the company that has nothing to do with WikiLeaks, the company that owns Wikipedia is actually levying lawsuits against the United States for Upstream, saying that the NSA is breaking First and Fourth Amendment rights by using Upstream.
Yeah.
And so Wikipedia is basically currently suing the United States government because of the infractions that they're doing and so forth. So
I think that's definitely one thing too, is the exposure of all the information, like you said, the Chancellor of Germany or something. Now foreign governments are at least holding it accountable because we, as the people, don't have the power to say, is this still happening or not, other than some anonymous hacker or something that's next level.
Yeah.
But the other governments are like, well, they're monitoring that, and they're not like Putin will just be like, yeah, man, 9/11 was fake, man, there's aliens. Like, he'll just say whatever. So if we're doing it, some other government's going to call us out now, probably, because they're watching to see if we're watching them.
Right.
Did you guys see the Smurf? The Project Smurf thing?
No.
I like how they come up with these names, Mystic and Smurf. So they have a thing called Project Smurf, and it's that they can do what they call like hot tapping into your phone. So if your phone...
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, they do something called Sleepy Smurf is what it's called.
Sleepy Smurf.
There's tools. I know, right? Like, they have those names. So they have a tool.
Yeah.
NSA has
Project
a tool.
Project Gargamel.
Called Sleepy Smurf. And it means basically it can turn your phone on when it's off. Anytime they want.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And then they have Nosy Smurf, which is they can turn your hot mic your phone on, off or on, because they can turn it on if it's off to hot mic it. And that's called Nosy Smurf. So, I just like the name of those.
And I've been told that. I've been told that they have basically a switch they can get into any phone carrier and pretty much listen in. They can use your camera to record.
Sure.
Surrounding areas. I mean, it's fucking insane. Like, some of the shit
you think
about. And again,
it's like, I mean, you get stuck on the spectrum. It's like, at certain points, when Jack Bauer is trying to stop a nuclear bomb from destroying Los Angeles, I hope that they can use a terrorist's cell phone to tell me where the bomb is. But at the same time, it's like, you kind of don't really have any business just like bulk spying on every American all the fucking time.
Yeah, because you get the bored NSA agent who's like, oh, remember that one chick from fucking over here that sent that picture?
I'm sure
Let's
that's
get
happening.
On her phone and see
oh,
what's
hell
up
yeah,
with that.
It is. Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's the shitty part of it. And you talked about overlapping these programs to where if you got rid of one, there's still another one out. Did you mention the X key score?
X key score is their main interface.
Yeah, and X key score is they're able to collect internet and phone data. So it's right. like you get rid of one where they're collecting internet just, data from this right. side. Well, that's okay because we're still doing it over here.
He explained it like the X key score is their primary interface. So yeah. I picture it like the Google of the NSA.
Yeah. Right.
It's like the Google of the people. So I could type in like Dave Moten and be like, here's every Dave Moten. You're like, this is the one. California, boom, 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 boom. Yeah. And you click down and it's like, okay. And then there's all Dave stuff.
We need that program.
It says phone, your text, your emails, all your stuff is there and they can narrow it all the way down. He even said through that they could watch real-time drone strikes with video, like a lower quality video, while they're happening. They just had access to every drone.
Wow.
And they could just watch it
happen.
Wouldn't
it be insane if we got a hold of that program? We could just mass push like a This Week on Sofa King podcast to everybody's phone. Like, that'd be fucking sweet.
How many downloads did you get this month? Yeah. All of them.
Everyone has it on their phone.
300 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got another crazy name for you. Monster Mind. Did you see that one?
I did not see Monster Mind.
Monster Mind is a cyber protection program where basically it on AI. This is the problem with it, though, is through AI, it auto-detects a cyber attack and retaliates with no human intervention.
That's sweet.
That's cool, except for the problem if some hacker from like South America makes it bounce off a server in Russia, and like we would have been like, wait a minute, that got routed through here.
It would have
it
to
just
know,
attacks
though.
Russia.
No, it would have to know. It probably would. I would assume it
well, probably is a scary traces. Term when you're attacking Russia with
I would assume
robot
it traces
cybersecurity.
Well, that's why they're housing Edward
No, that
Snowden.
Was the concern. I mean, Snowden's actual concern in here is he says that that's the problem. So Snowden knows that a mastermind will attack with no human intervention. So yeah. there's always that unknown
variable.
Yeah,
that's
variable.
Like some war games shit
yeah.
right
yeah, exactly.
there.
Yeah, exactly.
Start,
Joshua.
That starts World War III just from some fucking artificial intelligence.
And I mean, the truth about this is it's like everybody gets up in arms that Snowden revealed that America is doing this to its own citizens. But so it's like, I must logically conclude that the UK is doing it to its citizens and our citizens. China is doing it to its citizens and our citizens. It's like, even if I'm worried about the US government, that's the least fucking of my worries. Because I promise you, China is doing the same thing on yeah. a massive scale. Every time I watch anything about cyber hacks, about problems that are happening with the government, big worries about our power grid shutting down, etc., everybody's worried about China and their amazing ability to hack and survey and do all this stuff. And it's like, I promise you, if the NSA has these tools in place, so does China. So do other countries.
Make the mistake of underestimating, you know, people as a whole. Just because you live in Iraq or you live in China, you live in this place, you have this preconceptualized image of someone like, oh, they're just in like some dirt hut. Yeah, but they might be in a dirt hut with a laptop and they might be as smart as Edward Snowden.
Right. That's the thing. When you're looking at China, there's probably 20 people in the country as smart as fucking Stephen Hawking. We've just never heard their name. It's
exactly.
Like when you're dealing with India or Pakistan, these places that have a billion people living in them, there's going to be fucking straight
yeah. Yeah, you
up
have a,
geniuses well, living
and
in
and
a
it's,
hut.
And it's crazy too, because they've, with each of these programs that they've done, I just must not have been paying attention, but did you mention Dish Fire?
Mm-mm.
And Dish Fire is the collection of text messages or texts. It's not necessarily like a text message that you would send to Brent, but it would be a message from your phone that is actually in text. So like they collect more than 5 million missed call alerts. Like
that's crazy.
Like it's every little inch of every piece of data that goes across the internet that they keep. Like it's like, oh, not only do we have your text messages, we have your missed calls, we have this, we have that.
Right.
It's like fucking every fucking thing.
It's all
details of 1.6 million border crossings a day that they collect data on from your phone.
Yeah.
They know if you cross the border and come back.
Right, just because of the cell tower you bounce to.
More than 110,000 names from electronic business cards, which also include the ability to extract and save images. So it pulls business card information on like V cards.
Right.
And then also 800,000 financial transactions through either text-to-text payments, linking credit cards to phone users. So like your Apple, how you pay through Apple.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they fucking, it says every square inch of the internet, anything that, I mean, phone lines, internet, I mean, it's just they control. they have access to.
Let me read one more quote. I don't want to read too many long quotes from this letter, but again, in Snowden's letter to Brazil, another quote that he said is, he said, "The tide has turned and we can finally see a future where we can enjoy security without sacrificing our privacy. Our rights cannot be limited by a secret organization. Even the defenders of mass surveillance, those who may not be persuaded that our surveillance technologies have dangerously outpaced democratic controls, now agree that in democracies, surveillance of the public must be debated by the public. My act of conscience began with a statement, I don't want to live in a world where everything that I say, everything I do, everyone I talk to, every expression of creativity or love or friendship is recorded." And this is the reason he did what he did. But I think this is the, this is what he's given us, whether you fucking love him or hate him. The fact that he says that even those who are in support of these technologies all agree that we have to have a debate about the prism, about the spectrum, about security versus privacy. Yeah. Like, this must be discussed meaningfully. And it wasn't being discussed at all.
It was forced upon
before
us.
Snowden. And once he did this, I mean, even though most of these programs we're talking about are still in place and Snowden's leaks can't stop them, we're talking about them. And we straight up would not be if it weren't for Snowden.
We had no idea.
No.
I mean, and that's a good point. That comes across to me as, it's the same thing as the second amendment. A second amendment. Jesus Christ.
That's a mini amendment.
It comes across the same as the Second Amendment argument. You know, should we be allowed to have and hold and bear arms? You know, like, it's in the Constitution.
If I had bear arms, I'd scratch you.
And hug you. You know, this is the same protection of our rights. You know what I mean? Our rights are to have privacy. You know what I mean? Like, but how far do you want to let that go? How far do you want to let them take our guns away from us?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because we are the only country in the world that is allowed to bear arms. And guess what?
I can't quit thinking about
it. Well, guess what?
About the bear arms.
Yeah.
I know there's other countries that.
Well, there are some, but I mean, we are the ones, like, the reason we haven't been invaded is because everybody is here and able to take care of themselves, I believe.
I don't know about that. And I think that a lot of talk about amendments and constitution, like Dave was saying, it's happening. Everyone's spying on everyone. It's not even about constitutional rights or amendments so much as it's about basic human rights to privacy, like to not have someone privacy. Can you get away for a second from anything? Privacy. Yeah.
And again, and that's one of the things that he talks about. He was a fucking spy.
Right.
And he makes the distinction, like, he seems to say in the interviews I've seen, I don't have a problem with our spy apparatus spying on enemy agents.
Yeah, it's necessary.
Yeah. But what's problematic to him, it seems, is when our spy agencies are spying on us all the time for no good reason, right? I mean, it used to be very difficult.
Which seems common sense. It used to be difficult,
you have to get a court order and do all this shit to investigate someone because their privacy was protected. And now those doors are kicked off and it's like people can just fucking surveil when they want to surveil. You know?
Yeah. There has to be some sort of compromise.
Right.
I know that I feel suppressed from it, honestly. Like, reading this stuff, I'm going to end up living in a teepee and hiding from a drone.
And like, we always joke about, oh, well, the Sofa King podcast, we're on a list already. Truth is, we're fucking on a list. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they're fucking listening to the episodes. Maybe that's where some of our downloads are coming from.
Keep it up.
I'll go ahead and throw myself under the crazy bus for the fans because you guys will just enjoy it as my character. But I literally had a conversation the other day, and I won't even say what the conversation is, but I pulled my battery out of my phone. It wasn't about homosexual sex.
No, and
I took my battery out of my phone.
No. To be honest with you, like, I know you're the conspiracy theorist. You know, you like to believe that stuff, but that is an actual real thing. They can listen to you. They do listen to you. It's insane.
I went longer than everyone I know, except for my friend Reggie.
That guy's a marathon. Right. He can go all night.
No, I went longer than anyone I know not getting a smartphone. And this was years ago, because I was so paranoid about their capability to constantly gather. I take that back. My brother still doesn't have a smartphone and will never own one and refuses to for that very reason.
He's got AOL,
but
56K.
I didn't want one because of the surveillance possibilities, because I knew as soon as I click OK and want to use the features on my phone, Google knows where I am every second of every day. When I first got this phone, it was actually funny. When I first got my first decent smartphone, I would come down to the computer shop every day and paint. And I was down here every single day, and I started to get traffic updates that would just magically manifest on my phone telling me about traffic delays for me to go to work, because my phone recognized, my phone thought I worked at SWAT PC and thought I came down here because I was down here all the time. Yeah. My phone was assembling information and patterns
about your location and patterns.
About my location and patterns.
And this is a very real thing, and it's not to scare people, but Android has been able to do that for a long time. You're able to listen in on an Android phone because Android has the capability. We make fun of the OK Google, and that is a real thing. The phone comes on. It's actively listening to you and your conversation.
Right.
Because it's looking for keywords. Actually, the iPhone hasn't been able to do that. So anybody with an iPhone, it was a little more difficult. But now the new iPhone, it does do that.
Right.
The new thing is you say fucking hello Siri or whatever the fuck it is, and it comes on and it, hey, how can I help you?
But so, again, it's all fucked up because conversely, the iPhone had a much better series of location tracking that was very difficult to turn off.
Yeah.
So even though all those earlier iPhones weren't necessarily listening to you all the time, they were much more actively tracking your physical location, whereas the Androids only recently started to more actively track your physical location.
Well, Androids, the location thing never fucking works.
I told you guys
Android.
About how my phone like recommended something I talked about.
Yeah. No, and that's what I was going to get at.
Did we say that on the podcast, or was that between me and you?
No, we talk about it, but I was going to...
Break it down for the listeners.
So like, this is why I'm getting so paranoid. If Target or someone can send me ads based on stuff I'm saying in casual conversation while my phone's in my pocket, then the government definitely can.
What happens is that Brent will... We'll be talking about something, maybe a new toy or something for the kid, and he'll go to look on his phone a little bit later. There will be an ad for that thing that we were talking about on his phone.
It's happened several times. So like the most notable, though, just for a good example, is my kids and I went to Walmart. But I don't know we're getting. Oh, it was presents or something for someone. But so we
make
were
that
there.
Dollar go further.
We got in the car. My son was like, "I know what I want for Christmas," and I was like, "What do you want?" And he said, "I want like the Zippy interactive dino something thing that I'd never heard of." And I was like, "What's that? How much is it?" He's like, "It's $69, Dad." And I was like, "This kid's 6 years old. He cracks me up, man. Like, these ads are coming out of his face. He can't help it." That could have been portrayed inaccurately. But anyway, so I was like, "What is that thing?" And my daughter's like, "Oh, it's actually $99. It's an interactive dinosaur." So it got said a few times. My phone was in my pocket, though. Not on, not open. I have
never
a lock screen.
For it.
I can't OK Google from my lock screen. So there's no OK Google. But my phone is on. I've never searched for that on the internet. The only time I had ever even heard of it was right then, my son and daughter saying that from the back seat.
Yeah.
Right? And like in my pocket from the back seat, like it's probably not even that clearly legible, I wouldn't think. Like if I had butt dialed someone, they probably wouldn't have understood the conversation.
Right.
I drove 5 minutes home, went to my house. As I pulled out my phone to press play on, we're trying to play Showbox, play a movie. There's always an in-app ad that comes up right before the movie starts. It was for Zippy the Interactive Dinosaur.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck?
And very much, I mean, could be portrayed as coincidence, but the shit started happening
That's
to me too.
That's pretty specific.
I don't think... The least paranoid I'll get about it, which is still pretty paranoid, is that the system was tracking searches that your son and daughter were doing and were then linking that association to your phone.
Could have.
Which is still paranoid. That's still fucked up.
Well, that's how crazy advanced the ad systems are.
Right.
Like if an ad system is that advanced and can figure out what the fuck you're talking about.
I had it. Someone asked me like, "Oh, man, I wish I knew what that song was." I was like, "Just get SoundCloud. I used to use that all the time. Don't have it on my phone." Okay. I said, "Just get SoundCloud. I used to use it all the time. You can just hold it up. It'll tell you what song it is, even the lyrics." Like,
no, it's not SoundCloud. It's fucking SoundCloud.
Oh, not SoundCloud. SoundHound.
Yeah.
I said SoundHound. And then the same thing happened. 5 minutes later, I had a thing pop up that said, "Get SoundHound available in the Google App Store or something." And I was like, what? Like, I haven't talked about SoundHound. And like, I hadn't had it on my phone. It was like,
you're
going to
get more ads
came
now
out.
For Zippy the Dinosaur.
We'll see what happens, dude. I literally started to think that I was going to try to like take my phone apart and find the service mount mic and break it off. Because I was like, I don't even make phone calls. I just text. I don't care. Minute I do it, though, I'm not like emergency phone call.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or I'll make a detachable plug-in microphone. That's what I'll do. I'll take that off and have a little microphone I can plug in or
there
something.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
That's pretty good.
No, it's, the surveillance
Damn,
is
privacy.
Crazy. So.
Privacy.
Privacy.
Are we saying anything more about Snowden? Last, what do you think? Hero, traitor, you don't care.
No, I think that he was on that
Patriot.
He was on that right side where he not right or wrong, but he was on the one side where he felt strongly about protection of privacy.
Yeah. Someone said on social networking, I think it was Cassandra, that you shouldn't be considered a hero for doing something that you should do in a situation, like doing something you're supposed to do in a bad situation. But I don't know.
I think at that
level, would to you, sacrifice your way of life and risk imprisonment, you're kind of a hero.
A death.
Yeah.
They're going to kill
possibly
him.
Possibly assassinate
him. Yeah.
Yeah. He's still not out of the woods on that.
Yeah. And one of the things is, like, how many people would do that? Like, would you turn your boss in at a job for doing something that he's not supposed to be doing?
Yeah, most people won't even do that. Like they sexual won't even harassment say
something
at Walmart.
About their, they won't even say something about their coworker for fucking not doing something that, or doing something they're not supposed to be doing because they're afraid. So fuck you for sitting there and judging somebody for doing what he thinks is right.
And I think as a whole, like, he was entirely modest and selfless, you know. The entire time it was never about him. There was the fact that he's still alive is amazing. Like there was never something like I'm gonna go out and be famous. Like there's no way. Like he had everything to lose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there was very little chance of anything to gain. He's really lucked out that he's able to kind of become a public speaker and be on TED Talks.
And I mean,
have these interviews.
He definitely broke the law. I mean, he broke his non-disclosure agreements. He broke the law, et cetera. But
so did the government.
Exactly. As far as I'm concerned, he broke the law in the same way that the founding fathers suggested we should always break the law.
I thought the
when
same
the
thing.
Law that, makes that, it, yeah. when the law creates injustice, when the law makes something wrong happen, then you should be breaking the law if it's going to fix the broken law.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he was trying to do.
And Donald Trump just did a speech saying that same exact thing.
Oh, dear God. I'm going to go home and shoot myself.
No, he said the same. You're going to vote for him now. Listen to the speech.
Oh, God. I can feel myself getting orange like an Oompa Loompa.
It was about the Second Amendment. And I mean, you just quoted almost word for word what he said. Did you write that speech for Trump?
Is my hair growing out weird all of a sudden?
I think he said it while he was in Florida,
podcast is going to be huge.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know. China, I can't remember if we mentioned it or not. But my favorite thing in the interview with John Oliver and Snowden is when he's asking if you're going to miss certain things about America, and he asks a couple of things jokingly, and then he says, "Are you going to miss the entire state of Florida?" And he just kind of pauses and looks awkward, like you could tell he was like, "Fuck Florida," like you could see it.
He's
on
Dave's side for
Well, Snowden was awarded several awards of recognition from several countries.
He got the Pulitzer Prize.
He got the IQ Award, the Right to Livelihood Award, the German Positive Big Brother Award.
Coming from Germany, that's some fascist sounding shit right there.
The rector
of
university.
You are the Positive Big Brother.
Who the fuck has a Big Brother Award?
I don't know. The rector of University of Glasgow, the alternate Christmas message, which that sounds weird, but he was the first person in 366 years to not be a citizen of that country to receive that award.
Wow.
The Sam Adams Award, which has nothing to do with beer apparently, and also
as I say, you got free beer for life.
The Whistleblower Prize, I mean, it just goes on and on.
Whistleblower Prize, what the fuck is this shit?
That like, shit's they have all legit. These, I want to win, I haven't won shit.
We should start looking for prizes that the
we can win,
that the podcast can win. Just crack the case. I want to
make sure before I forget, thank you for the people on social networking that participated. It was Thomas Aguirre, Cassandra Ray, Jason Roscom, Patrick Dietz, and Jake Blair, he was on Instagram. He gave us some new topic ideas, and I think that I'm going to throw a couple on the board and see what you guys think.
All right.
He had some good ideas.
Yes, we have a board. It's got all kinds of
shit. That's definitely, like I said at the beginning, like we're trying to sort of shift the show's focus a little bit to spend our time looking into topics that you guys are interested in, not just. I mean, anything.
It's a smart move. Yeah. It's like open source podcast. You know what I mean? It's like why would we cram something down your throat you might not be interested in? If you guys pick something that you want to hear about, it's probably going to be interesting, and then we'll try to give that to you.
Even if it's not in our wheelhouse, we're going to look it up, and we're going to come here and bloviate about it.
And I'm going to butcher this dude's name, Alejandro Reyna Jr. on
Sounds
Facebook. He's got a new fan. He was commenting a lot on the Illuminati episode, and just to let you know, we do probably have an Illuminati 2 somewhere in the future.
Yeah, it's coming up.
There's lots of stuff to cover.
A lot of stuff. I mean, same thing we did today, covering covering Edward Snowden kind of goes off the internet privacy stuff that we talked about.
Yeah, we could
before.
Revisit so that again.
We're getting in, and this is, and I talked to the guys, this kind of leads into a 9/11 episode, which that's probably going to be multiple episodes.
Yeah, it's definitely in the works.
That's a passionate thing for people. I know there's people who really think the government was involved, and there's a lot of people who really would, you know, really...
Hate that idea.
Yeah.
And we got some vehicle decals too. Like if you guys are listening and you don't already have a sticker, if you're not local or something, hit me up and we'll see what we can do. Maybe I can mail you a sticker or something. Mm-hmm. So let us know through social networking and the website. But we got some cool.
Yep. Like, it's a free sticker, but you send us the envelope and $2.95.
All the money goes to American Made Podcast.
Yeah, and right. And we appreciate just giving us a shout out to your buddies and, you know, people at work or wherever, just to Absolutely. Get them listening. We don't make money off this. We do it for fun. And, you know, if we do make any money, it goes back into this. So, you know, we're just...
And we're going to be on a KOCF Oregon. I can't remember the actual... station number 92 point something, but
we're not there.
Yeah, but we're about to be there in 2 weeks or so. We're gonna be play twice a week, so that's new news.
Oregon, then you'll hear us,
give us a listen,
and you're hearing us now, but you'll hear us in Oregon. We'll be there in
both of your ears
and sponsors again.
Sponsors,
and then sponsors, as always, thank you to Digital Creations. They're in Bakersfield, California. They are located at 1705 20th Street, Bakersfield, California, 93301. You can contact them at 661-322-5552. They have a wide range of printing solutions. You can make a blanket for your grandma or a pillow for your uncle, a coffee mug with your kid's face on it, keychains for your cousin. All for family members, though. Keep
it
in the family.
I so badly want to ruin the sponsor ads. Like, for whatever reason, like, this stuff comes into my head.
Yeah.
Well, we need to pre-record these things, but also that beard stuff, who I butchered like for three episodes in a row because I kept forgetting, but they have a wide array of all natural beard products, from beard balms, washes, oils, and mustache waxes. If you want to look real handsome, hit them up. It's in there right now. Brad tried to kiss me earlier because of my... odoriferous.
I didn't try, motherfucker. We got tongue.
That was fairly. It was straight. It was tongue. Successful. I wasn't going to go too deep, but
you didn't pull away. You didn't kiss me, but you didn't pull away.
He told me I smelled like a Christmas tree with sweet almond oil on it. Was nice. His actual quote. Yeah. But they have like t-shirts, pint glasses, mugs. If you're local, you can catch them at like First Friday. I know they're sold in lots of local barber shops. You can call them at 661-932-2329, or check them out on social networking like Facebook and Instagram. At that beard stuff. And then lastly, my favorite El Yucateco hot sauce. You can get them at www.elyucateco.com or any major grocery store, including Walmart. But so maybe try to get it somewhere else or from us. I think they're made in Yucatan or something. Maybe I'll have to look that up. The peninsula?
Yes.
That's where the dinosaurs died, I think, yeah, or something? I don't know. No asteroid hit.
What are you talking about?
Maybe they'll send us a pamphlet. Asteroid impact. Maybe they'll send us a hot sauce pamphlet.
But we still got some cool prizes from them, so chime in, because we got like some sunglasses and t-shirts and hot sauce, and we got some stuff left over on that. If you have a beard, chime in, because I want to give away some beard stuff, probably not to a female. If you're a female and you have a beard, I'll totally give it to you if you send us a picture.
You never know. Your guy might like going down on you with the Christmas tree almond oil.
Shit got real. That was at 1 hour and 14 minutes. So
I'm just trying to help out our listeners.
And sponsors, apparently. So
well, that just, hey, I mean.
Hair's hair,
it,
man.
That puts it to a whole new market. You know what I mean? Yes. So maybe they didn't think about that.
So there it is. But you can get them on the website or at your local grocery store, most likely. So check them out. They got green, red, purple,
with
blue.
With the beard stuff at the grocery store?
The hot sauce. Sorry. Yeah, they have every flavor you can think of, and they're all delicious. So there's like one thing on their website that I can't identify, and I don't know what it is, and they didn't send any in our prize box. I don't know. It's a Mexican mystery. I'm not sure what it is. It's something for cooking, I think. But it comes in a box, not a bottle. Okay. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to find out.
It's like a little...
it's my last... Conquer. I don't know. No, I don't know what it is. It looks like it's a box of butter or something, but I don't think it's butter.
Is it like hot sauce fat?
I don't know. Maybe. Hot sauce and lard.
I don't know. Why don't you ask them? Like, send me an email and a picture.
I'm going to find out.
Hey,
if you're wondering.
What the fuck is this?
Yeah. If you guys are listening, tell me what that is. All right. So anyways, please chime in on social networking so we can give you some stuff. Thank you.
And we are at Sofa King Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere. SofaKingPodcast.com. Google knows us as Sofa King Podcast. So does iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Just search us up. You can find us. Obviously, if you're listening to us, it wasn't by accident. I wouldn't assume. Or maybe it was. Tell your friends. Tell your mom. She'll love the show. And don't send dick pics over the internet because the NSA is looking. So that was you know, helpful for this episode to teach you guys to keep your privates to yourself.
Yep.
And America. It's privacy, not privacy.
That's right. And monetary.
Monetary. That really is the word.
And then Dave said Nelson Mandela at some point.
That was weird.
I didn't get through it. Yeah. Couldn't break through the noise to point it out.
The Mandela effect?
Yeah, he said Nelson Mandela something.
Nelson Mandela.
And then he confirms it. All right,
so that's it for this episode. You know, research it yourself. Look up Edward Snowden and see what he did, you know, and come to your own conclusion. These are just our thoughts. And send us some things that you want to talk about or you want us to talk about and get involved on social media, and the government will be watching. So don't be a retard.
Up in the morning, grab my trees and knock it to a young nigga. I do my own thing, so let me do it. If you want to know one thing about me, I'm about my paper. Fuck a bitch soon as my iPhone rings. I see you later. Hop up in the Chevy, grab my keys, and then I'm outie first thing. If it's about that cheese, then I'm about it. I be stacking up. Got no time for niggas hating low. We backing up. Keep that clean and watch some Daytons cruising down the street. Hear my car before it's coming. Fuck the police. Windows down. I'm smoking something in my bitch bag. She gon' ride if shit get crazy. Goons masked up. They gon' slide. You tried to play me since a young nigga. Kept that pack up in the telly since a young nigga. Been had tats like Machiavelli. Shoot for fun, nigga. Fun, nigga. My niggas bust. You better run, nigga. Run, nigga. King of fucking everything.